Hello, welcome to the Invitational preview on BGA and the Battlecruiser. The Invitational's in 2 days. Before I get on to Invitational stuff, just a quick recap of the Players' Championship. Obviously, it was at Purford. Matt Edmonds finally broke his duck, his 29th major appearance, and his first win. I mean, I'm not just talking for myself, but I think from all the tour, everyone was really happy Edmonds finally got there and finally got the win. I think you could see how much it meant to him. You know, the scenes on the 18th where he threw the ball in the lake, his kids running onto the green, him screaming at them, "Daddy won." You know, just a very emotional win, really. Emotional moment. I think it was obviously 13 years of hurt, of close calls, you know, three runner-ups just in the Players' Championships. I think he's had six runner-ups in all BGA tournaments. So his time was due. He put in the hard work. I don't think anyone picked him to start with. I don't even think his confidence was up there. I don't even think he felt like he had a chance. But Purford played, in my opinion, very easy. There was a lot of water, but it was so short that, you know, if he stayed out the water, there wasn't too much trouble. Edmonds obviously capitalised on that. He had a very good winning total of 45 points. Just a quick recap, quick congratulations to Matt. Very pleased for him. I know how much it meant to him. And he's a major champion. Welcome to the club, Matt. So moving on to the Invitational, the 19th edition of our flagship championship. Where do we begin, really? It's been a emotional roller coaster, really. This was meant to be played at Hindhead. We booked it January of last year at Hindhead. Then about 6 weeks out, Hindhead communicated to us that they wouldn't be hosting any societies and that they would have to cancel for us for this year due to COVID issues. So we then scrambled to get a replacement venue. And obviously this is the Invitational, it's our biggest event. So we didn't want to play the event at any old tournament, any old course. We wanted to take it somewhere prestigious, somewhere of high calibre, you know, the likes of Hindhead. And we were able to secure Prince's. Absolutely delighted, really. It was something that obviously has come together within pretty relatively short time. So Prince's, obviously, the history there is amazing. It's hosted the 1932 Open Championship, which Gene Sarazen won by 5 strokes. The one and only Open Championship that has been held at Prince's. Obviously, Gene Sarazen, an absolute legend of the game. Hall of Famer. So it's got history, it's got tradition, and I just can't put into words how excited I am for Thursday. I've always wanted to put the Invitational, you know, host it on a links course. It's a thing we've never done. Isle of Purbeck last year was close to the coast, but it wasn't actually on the coast. So this is the first time the BGA Tour is going to be going to a links course, and to go to a course that's hosted the Open Championship with so much history, so much tradition, I've never been this excited for an event. We've got an amazing field, 32 man field. Just want to say thanks to the membership for supporting this event. Obviously, it's in Sandwich, so it's, you know, it's a 2.5 hour drive, but 32 man field, it's been well supported. I think everyone's got on board with exactly what it, you know, what it's about. This is our flagship championship at a stunning links course, you know, and it's going to be hard. I've looked at the forecast for Thursday. It's showing light rain showers with a gentle breeze. This is going to be a different challenge to that anyone, bar probably, you know, the Joneses, the Biffins, the Caldwells, that have faced, you know, a links course in testing breezy conditions. It's just going to be an absolute great day. I think my own personal kind of how I'm approaching the day is just to enjoy the course, the aesthetics, the history, that, you know, just feel privileged that we're playing the championship at Prince's. I honestly can't wait. It's just going to be, you know, this is going to be the biggest day of the BGA Tour. I think every year, I should say, you know, we up it, we kind of grow the tour, we up it in stature. And I think this is another signal of intent of that. You know, we're playing a championship, our flagship championship at Prince's. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Conditions are going to be windy. But I think if you approach the day with just enjoying where we're at, I think everyone was going to have a good day. We're playing on the dunes and the Himalayas layout. They've obviously got 27 holes at Prince's. So we're playing the dunes front nine and then the Himalayas back nine. I've never played it, but just there's a lot of aerials, a lot of photos that have been seen online, especially on Prince's website, which is, it's a great website, really. It gives you all aerial shots. It gives you a breakdown of each hole. You know, it's very helpful. I don't know, this is just me going by the pictures, so this may be fucking completely incorrect, but the dunes looks like it's very tight, very narrow, and the Himalayas, it kind of looks like it opens up a bit more. They've just redone the Himalayas, and I think that's going to be absolutely spectacular. I think it's just going to be 18 holes of just complete, you know, just views, complete arousal. It's going to be good. I'm going to go through each group now. I'm going to tell you a quick breakdown of each. We've obviously got 32 players, so we've got eight four balls. We've got all the big names. I'm going to start off with group one, which is the feature group. Matt Jones, two-time invitational champion. He's playing with Johnny Caldwell, I should say, Joe Alloway and Danny Slade. Matt Jones, you know, where do you start? Five-time BJ Tour winner, four-time major winner, two-time invitational champion. He's done that. Done it. He's been there. Obviously, Prince is, I believe, you know, I think it's going to be so tough, especially in breezy conditions. You have to look at the low handicappers. You know, obviously, Jonesy plays a scratch. You have to be looking at the Joneses, the Cods, the Biffins, I think. I don't know. I really believe as though it's going to be one of them that's up there and gets the dub. Matt Jones's invitational record's great. Two wins. And, you know, he's not won since 2019 World Match Play. He's going to be going in there with a point to prove, really. He had a solid TPC, came tied 15th, which up to his standards is probably no good. But you have to remember it was a 39-man field and he's playing off scratch. He shot 36 points at Purford. I think this is up Jones's alleyway a bit more. You know, the testing conditions, the links. He's played Prince's before. He's played links courses. He's the greatest of all time. He's going to adapt to these conditions a lot better. He's better at golf than everyone else in the field. You know, he's going to be more consistent. I think honestly, if I had to pick, Jones is in my top three of winning this. And if he doesn't win, he's going to come top three, because I think 36 points Thursday is going to be very, very good. And I can't see Jones having a nightmare. I think he's going to play consistent golf. He's one of my real hot picks. And I know I'm not saying any breaking news there, because Matt Jones is, you know, he's won the most titles on tour. He's won the most majors. He's the best golfer by considerable distance. So I'm not breaking any news there. But Jones has got to fancy this. He really has. This is a real opportunity to win another invitational. You know, if he wins another one, he draws closer. Well, he draws level with Biffin at three invitational wins. He also would be the first man to five major wins and the first man to six BJ Tour wins. So there's a lot riding in it for Jones. He's out first. I think that's going to suit him. So he's also out with Johnny Codd, defending champion. Obviously, Johnny won it in just such jubilant fashion last year. You know, he won by 3 points. He hit that solid approach shot into 18. He was one of the last groups out. Everyone was there watching. You know, the perfect clubhouse kind of overlooks the green. So, aesthetically, it was great. I mean, Johnny Codd, he joined the tour in 2016. He had a lot of close calls. You know, he had a couple of tournaments that he lost in a sudden death playoff for the win. You know, the 2017 playoffs, he lost to a playoff with my dad. He then lost another playoff in 2018 in the Players' Championship. So he'd been there, he'd had them close misses, he had that heartbreak, and Johnny Codd's such a fucking popular guy, such a good bloke. You won't meet someone more genuine or a bigger heart than Johnny Codd, and I genuinely mean that. So to see him break onto the major stage last year, Isle Purbeck, it was fitting, and you can't really pick a more popular winner in the last 5 years than Johnny Codd. I really like his chances going in. Again, he's playing off three. He hits the ball a mile. But, I mean, I spoke to Johnny earlier today. I said, how's your golf game? How you been? And his response was, he's been on the source. So, Johnny's obviously moved up to Scotland now, back to where he's from. He's come back for the week. So, the only thing I'm worried about with Johnny is if this week is just a complete piss-up all week. You know, you've obviously seen his friends that he's not seen since he's moved to Scotland. He's got no work, so I know he's playing a lot. I know he's playing third down with Adam Hunt, 2016 Invitational Champion, and their associate at Ferndown today, which is another just spectacular track. So he's playing the golf, he's putting the practice in. I'm just a bit worried how much partying he's going to do this week, how much WAF will be consumed. I don't want him turning up Thursday haggard and tired, because Brince's is going to be a fucking... It's going to be a long day, you know. Our tee off is at 10 a.m. They're getting the party coach at, what, 6 a.m, whatever it is. It's a long day, and you're going to need full energy. You're going to need full... You're just going to need to be on the ball. You're going to need endurance. I hope Johnny doesn't overdo it this week, because I know what he gets like. He gets carried away. He loves it. He gets on it. That's Johnny Codd. That's what makes the man so popular, you know, his ability to just get on it and just go hard. You know, when he goes, he goes. Johnny Codd, I fancy him for a top five. I'd love it if he went back to back, because he's looking to become just the second player in tournament history to go back to back. Obviously, the first, Joe Slark in 2005, 2006. Obviously, different era back then, smaller fields. Obviously, we're playing a higher level of field now. It's also a higher level of courses that we're playing at. So, for Johnny to do it in a 32-man field, it's going to be difficult. But again, I can see him shooting 36 points, playing level par to his handicap, and being right up there. He's obviously also in the feature group with Joe Alloway and Danny Slay. Joe Alloway obviously won the playoffs last year, was a great win. I don't think anyone really picked him to win. He kind of come in under the radar, and he had a really good win there. You know, he beat some big names at the playoffs, Codd, O'Shea, Biffin, and he won quite comfortably. He had the lead early on. And I wasn't playing, so I was just there for content. And obviously, I was following all the groups, and just to see how he dealt with that pressure. He knew he was leading the tournament. See how he coped with it. I was very impressed. And I think he elevated his status on tour. He's playoffs champion. So that's why he's in the feature group with BGA legends like Jones, Caldwell. This is going to be interesting to see how Joe Alloway reacts to being in a feature group. You know, this is not, you're not group seven, group six, tucked away. No one's watching you. You're in with the big boys. This is going to be interesting to see how he copes with that. I think he's got the mental fortitude to be okay. He doesn't seem to let anything faze him. He's very laid back. Interesting to see how Joe does. I think he'll come top half. I think he'll have, you know, 32 players. I think he'll have a top 15. Interested to see how Joe does. And then Danny Slade, obviously the last man in that group. Danny's had a quiet couple of years, really. He obviously had that 2018. He had that stretch of golf from 2017, 2018, and even, kind of the start of 2019, where he was so consistent and he won the Masters, he won Player of the Year, he was the man of 2018. Then, obviously, his handicap's been cut slightly, not much. And then he's obviously had things like, you know, he's become a father. Don't think he gets to play as much. And obviously his results haven't been up to where Danny wants. I know Danny on his day, he hits the ball decently for a 17 handicap, whatever he is. I can't see him winning it, just purely based on his output of how much he's playing. And I think Danny will probably agree with that. He had a T25 at the Players' Championship, so he's not showing any form really going into Prince's, and I think you're going to have your game A-plus at Prince's to compete. I don't think anyone's going to be able to fake it round there. I think it's going to be, if your game's off, it's going to be hard. I don't know. It's just, it's tough. Danny's not showing any form. I don't know what his expectations are, but I would be surprised if he wins. But he's very competitive, and if he proved me wrong, I wouldn't be surprised. Moving on to Group 2, Paul Bennett, John Bradley, Charlie Pearce, Kevin Smith. My dad, Paul Bennett, you know, he's, I don't know, he's, he didn't have a good players' championship. He's not, to his admission, he's not playing the best golf of his career at the moment. But he's 65, you know I say this every time, and it's probably a bit unfair, but he's getting on a bit now. And I mean, the drive to Prince's, you know, he comes from Northamptonshire. It's a long drive, and for a 65-year-old man to then play 4 hours of major championship golf, I mean, does he have that focus? You know, just naturally as you get older, you get more tired. It's going to be hard for him. I'd love it. I'd love nothing more than my dad to finally break through and get that major win, especially the Invitational, you know, the one that matters the most. You know, the birthplace of the PGA Tour is the Invitational. It is what set the foundations for what we have today. It's the biggest championship. I've got my name on it twice. I would love my dad to, before he does, he's not able to play anymore, which, you know, I still think he's got a good few years left in him. But I think before, I don't know. I don't know if Prince is going to be that course that's going to allow him to. I think if it was firm and dry, I know we've had a really dry April, but in terms of May, we've had a couple of days of a lot of rain, and I think we're scheduled for a little bit more rain. So I think the course is going to play long for him. I'd love my dad to win. My heart says, yeah, he'll get a top five, because the last 4 years, he's had a good invitational record. You know, he came close at Purbeck last year. I think he came fifth. But my heart, you know, my heart says, yeah, I think he'll be up there. But my mind says, my brain says, it's going to be a tough ask for him. I'd love nothing more than my dad to win. But, you know, he's got it in there somewhere. If he can just play that consistent golf that he knows he's got in his locker, then who knows? John Bradley didn't have a good players' championship, come towards the bottom. My dad said he's been showing a bit of form. Obviously, they're members at Stowe Golf Club. So, you know, he's not burst on. He's been a member now since the start of 2020. He's not really done anything. You know, he plays off nine. John's a very likeable guy. All the members seem to have grown to him. So I'd like John to do well, because he's another one that he drives a long way. He puts a lot of effort into it. He's committed. But we'll see. Unknown commodity, really. But I'd like to see John do well. He's a good guy. Charlie Pearce, also in that four ball. Charlie's been someone that I've been talking about for a while now, and I'm saying, yep, he's got to make that next step. You know, leading up into a BGA major or a BGA tour event, you know, he's always shooting 40 points, or he's having really low rounds, and then it gets to the day and he can't quite replicate that. I don't know what that is. You know, he had a very good 2019 Invitational. I think he came second. So he has competed, he has challenged. I think on his day, I think he can win. I just don't know. I think the more majors you rack up in terms of zero wins, the more pressure builds on you. Look at Edmonds, took him 29 majors, and just maybe it got to the point, it needs to get to the point with Charlie where he doesn't care, you know, like Edmonds kind of got, and then the pressure kind of relieves and that win just comes. I don't know. I don't know what to expect of Charlie, because I thought he was going to do really well at the Players' Championship at Purford, and he had a fucking stinker. He was right down the bottom and didn't do very well. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Honestly, I've got no clue. I wouldn't be surprised if he does whatever at the Invitational, because he seems to be a bit sporadic, his form. So interesting to see how he does. Kevin Smith will make up that four ball. Kevin's making his major debut. He obviously made his BGA Tour debut at the President's Cup last year. Had a big impact. You know, he's an 18 handicapper. He's a good guy, Kev. Looking to welcome him to the major stage. You know, it's a bit different. The President's Cup, it's jovial. You've got your team around you. Everyone's loving it. Everyone's abusing the opposing team. You feel part of a team that you know, you have that bond. It's different. This is the Invitational. You're out there by yourself in blistery, windy conditions at Prince's. You know, you can't hide anywhere. Can't hide anywhere. It's interesting to see how he does, Kevin. Obviously, he played Ben Cawthorn yesterday in the World Match Play, and he's absolutely rolled through Ben for 7-5. So he's going into Thursday with a bit of confidence, a bit of, you know, a bit of swagger about himself. Interesting to see how Kev does, but I fancy him. I fancy him for a top 15 finish. Really, I think if he can show that form he showed it against Ben yesterday, why not? Group three is Tom Biffin, Ben Cawthorn, Jack Futrell, and Nick Smith. Where do you start? Obviously, with Tom Biffin, three-time Invitational champion, four-time major champion, five-time. No, yeah, sorry. Just doubted myself there. Five-time BJ Tour winner, you know. He's won the Invitational three times. His first was 2004 at Hazelwood. You know, it's mad to think 2004 Hazelwood, and then you think, you know, fast forward all these years to 2021, we're playing at the Prince's. We're playing next year at the Berkshire, the year after that Hindhead. It's, you know, that just really shows you the growth. Biffin's been there since the start, you know, 2004, fresh-faced. He won at Hazelwood, three-time champion. I think, I'm not sure with Biffin. I don't know how much form he showed into coming into Prince's, but you know with Biff, he just finds a different gear at the Invitational. He just finds that different zone, that different, I don't know what it is. You know, he comes alive at the Invitational. I think he's going to come top five because that's what he does. Most top fives in BJ Tour history. Most top fives in Invitational history with eight. That's mad. Top three finishes he's had. He's just so consistent. Wouldn't be surprised, you know, he's playing off five. I can see Biffin having a solid round. He's definitely going to be up there. He's definitely going to have a top 10. We'll see what his form is. I know he's playing quite a bit this week just to try and get major sharp, major ready. He's got the resume, he's got the experience, he's got everything you look at. He is, in my opinion, he's going to be up there. Ben Cawthorn. Cawthorn has just shown zero form. His game's gone really off the boil the last 2 years, really. It's been quite jarring to see, you know, Cawthorn. He was so consistent. He's won four times on tour. You know, he's a two-time major champion. And he's just, I don't know. Ben on his day can go round and shoot a real low score. I mean, I touched on it in the players' preview pod. He seems to change his clubs a lot. Doesn't seem to have much confidence. And I just think he's in a real limbo with his game at the moment. When Ben Cawthorn's playing well and he's up there and he's winning, you know, there's an excitement about it. You know, he loves it. When he's up there, he's probably one of the most competitive players I've played with. You know, he borders on aggressive. You know, he wants it. He hates this slump he's in. Is Prince's going to be the place that he comes out of that slump? In my opinion, I don't think it's going to be. He hasn't shown me enough, you know. He walked off the course, obviously, at the Players after nine holes, whatever it was. We withdrew after a night with Biffin, getting up to God knows what, with an hour's night, you know, 1 hour's sleep. How much does he want it still? I don't know. That doesn't strike me as a player that still wants it as much. But we'll see. I hope Ben plays well. I hope he has a good invitation, or he plays well, he has a solid finish, because I hate seeing that man down. You know, that content I posted yesterday of people being at Ben's funeral after he lost 7-5 to Kevin Smith. I didn't want to post that. I didn't want to fucking post that. But I had to. I don't want to post that content. I want Ben up there. I want him hungry, confident. I want him serious, focused. I hope we get that Ben Cawthorn, you know. He's obviously coming up on the party coach, which is a slight concern. I know what he gets like. I know he can get carried away. I hope the Invitational Thursday, I hope he approaches it with the right mental approach. Jack Futrell is also in that group. 2019 Players' Champion. He's a major champion. He knows what it takes to win. Obviously, he won at Fox Hills. That's another prestigious layout. against a real deep field he had that day. So he knows what it takes. You know, I think he's, you know, he won his World Match Play game the other week against the banker Lee Cousins. Jack Fearall knows what it takes to win a major, and he seems to be someone that is more or less up there. You know, top tens. He had a top three at the Masters last year. He knows what it takes. I just think the course, it might be a bit difficult for Jack to compete. I just think it's going to be so penal if you're getting the rough or the wind. I think it's going to be hard, you know, for him to. I think Jack's going to, he's going to have a top 20. I can't see him winning personally, but then he's proved me wrong before. I think when his back's up against the wall and people are doubting him and people are abusing and calling him a fucking rat, that's when he steps up. That's when you get a different level of player from him. Looking forward to seeing how Jack does. Of course, you know, he's a character of the tour, does my fucking nut in most of the time, but he wants it, he's serious, he loves it, he gets it. Moving on to the last person that foreballs, Nick Smith. Nick, you know, he had a good Players' Championship. I think he came tied 7th. He had 38 points off an 18 handicap. You know, Nick's joined the tour this year, and I think he's contacted me the most about handicap discussions more than any other player. And on your first year, that's a real red flag. I hope Nick's listening to this. Love Nick Smith as a guy. He's a really good bloke. I wouldn't have let him on the tour otherwise. But he's hungry for a W because, you know, the handicap, the private handicap DMs that I get, you know, he wants that handicap as high as possible. And I think he's a handicap manipulator. You know, I think he's a good player, you know. Been told by very reliable sources his level of golf. I don't know if Nick's not got much confidence, but people I spoke to, you know, when I've vetted him and done my research, they seem to think he's a good golfer. They seem to think he's, you know, a handicap where he maybe doesn't agree. I'm only saying this in jest. You know, I want to be fair. I want to give every player the right opportunity to win and compete. You know, obviously he was an 18 handicap at the Players' Championship. He had 38 points. You know, he's gonna be cut a shot. I still think he can compete at 17. 100% I can. You know, I think Nick is gonna be, he's gonna be up there for Rookie of the Year this year. I really do. I think he seems committed, seems really keen, seems enthusiastic, and he's got a golf game that seems like it could compete at that handicap. He's definitely gonna make the playoffs, in my opinion. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does nick a win somewhere. Is it going to be at Prince's? Who knows? Maybe. Maybe. Moving on to group four. My group. Myself, Dan Peel, Dick Smith and Phipsy, Ollie Phipps. Where do I start with this one? I'll start with myself. What are my chances going into the Invitational this Thursday? Don't know. I played some solid golf at the Players Championship. I came 17th. 35 points, so we're still over my handicap. But Purford and Prince's, you cannot compare the two. They are completely different challenges. I know that it's going to be a lot more difficult. You know, I know that Prince's is going to be tough. It's going to be penal. It's going to be windy. You're going to get found out if you're not on your game. I'm just going into it Thursday, trying to enjoy the day, trying to. This is, you know, this is a prestigious venue that we're playing at. It's hosted the fucking Open Championship, as I've said multiple times. I just want to enjoy it for what it is. I want to, you know, hopefully the weather's is okay and I can just enjoy the views, enjoy the aesthetics, hit a few decent golf shots, and who knows? I'm a two-time Invitational champion. You know, if I can play like I did at Purford and I can just tidy up a few of the mistakes that I made, and I can just avoid the real deep shit. Who knows? Do I think I'm going to win? No. No, I don't. But who knows? Who knows? You know, do I fancy myself for top 20? If I play it like I did at Purford, then yeah. Dan Peel also in that group. Zimbabwean hope, I should say. From Harare to Prince's. He's going there trying to inspire a nation. I saw him, you know, he quoted that on the BGA content. You know, just a young kid from Harare moved over to England and now he's on the BGA tour. You know, he hits the ball a fucking mile. Dan Peel, you couldn't meet a more genuine, likeable, decent bloke. He is class personified. He is just such a good bloke, you know. He wants to win, but he's there to have a good time. I wouldn't, honestly, outside of the Joneses, the Cods, the Biffins, I don't know, I've got a sneaky feeling for the Zimbabweans, you know. Dan Peel, Chappie, I'll get into Chappie's chances later. I really like Dan Peel. He came tied 7th at the TPC. He hits the ball a long way. His short game, by all accounts, is probably what lets him down. Again, if he can iron out them mistakes, he hits the ball long enough that he's going to have short irons in, short approach shots. I've really got a sneaky feeling Dan Peel is going to do well. You know, he might come 32nd. Who knows? But I think he's going to come definitely top five. And he's one of my... If I had to pick three people to win, and you had to give me one outsider, not the big names, Dan Peel. I like his chances, I really do. And he'd be a very popular winner with the Long Ditton cricket guys. Yeah, I like Dan's chances. Dickie Smith, moving on to Dickie Smith. You know, Dickie, it's a massive slice. He's got... Woldingham got his handicap down to 15. I mean, that's going to be really fucking tough for Dickie Smith to win off 15. Is he going to win? He's got absolutely no fucking chance. And I hate to say that, because Dick is... he's another genuine good guy. He's just there for the day. He enjoys it. I think Dick's going to struggle, you know, off 15. I know he hasn't been playing a lot. He's just had a baby. So congratulations to him and his missus. This is going to be tough for him. You know, if you're going in there a bit rusty, if you're going in there not as prepared, you know, he hasn't had much time on the course, it's going to be difficult for him. And I hate to say that, because I love Dickie. He's one of my best mates. Phippsy makes up that four. But where do I start with Ollie Phipps? You know, Phippsy did offer me a lift. You know, he said, yeah. You know, we live close-ish. We live a bit further out than most of the tour. You know, Phippsy agreed to take me. Then the party bus got brought up, and Phippsy, you know, he abandoned me, really. He abandoned the president, which is probably not a good move when I'm the one that makes all the fucking decisions and all the calls. He's lucky he's not playing off 10 for this one, to be fair. I should have cut him by 10 shots just for that, you know. Phippsy, fair play. He can't turn down a party, and that's probably what the party coach is going to be. Is Phippsy going to win the Invitational? He hasn't got a fucking chance in hell. You know, love Phippsy. You know, when he's not slagging off my dog and trying to insinuate that I have sex with my dog. He's a good bloke, but he did let me down badly with the lift situation, and I'm going to be reminding him that the whole 4 hours that we're playing golf. Let's see how he does. I don't think he's going to win. Group 5, Adam London, 2008 Invitational Champion Jack Wicks, Harry Cripps and Craig Martin. London's going in there, you know, he's vibing off that Players' Championship performance he had. Had a top 5 at the Players. Love to see London up there. You know, he's been another one that's been buying a lot of clubs. You know, every couple of weeks I just get a WhatsApp message from London, and it's just another golf club. You know, he's serious, he wants this. I know he wants to become a major champion. You know, he's obviously been cut a shot to 20. How's that going to affect his mental psyche? Who knows? Do I think London's going to win? No, I don't. I think he's going to come top 12, top 15. I hope he proves me wrong, because he'd be a popular winner, but I've just not seen anything on the big stage to show me otherwise. But I think he's gonna have a solid Invitational, and he's gonna build on that start from the Players, and I think he's gonna have a good year. I think he's gonna qualify for the playoffs. Moving on to Jack Wicks, 2008 champion, as I said. His game's been in a bit of the wilderness since 2018, when he should have won the Players Championship. You know, he's going through a historic three-peat. You know, he was leading coming down the 18th, and then put multiple balls in the water, had a bit of a collapse. He's just not competed to the same level. You know, 2016, 2017, 2018, he had a bit of a... He was just so consistent. He was up there. He won back-to-back players' championships. You know, but you can't rule Wixie out. He's a three-time major champion. He seems to, when he's up there, more or less, he's, you know, his closing skills are, well, they're there on paper. He's won three majors. You know, he knows what it takes to win. He won his Invitational back in 2008 when things were obviously different. The field sizes were smaller. It was the Attitude Era. Anything went. This is different now. This is 13 years time. 13 years later, this is Prince's. Is Wixie going to win? I don't think so. I think it's 17 handicap. It's hard. I fancy him for a... Yeah, I don't know. 20. He didn't have a good players either. I think he's going to come around 25th, around 30th. I hate to say that. I don't want to see him do... I don't want to see him do badly. He's a former champion of this event. He's a multiple major champion on tour. You know, he's one of the big names. I want to see him do well. I think he's got a bit more of a low-key group. Than he did for the players, so maybe that might suit him. Maybe going under the radar, he can play well. He can, you know, I'd like to see him do well. I'd like to see all our major champions do well, and you know, it's no different to Wixie. Harry Cripps, obviously, spoke of my admiration of Cripsy last year. Had a great year. Played with him at last year's Invitational at Eyre Purbeck. I was really impressed with how he grinded. You know, he's just every shot, didn't give up. Wanted to come as high as he could in the leaderboard, wanted to shoot the lowest possible score he could, and I respected that. I like his mental approach to the game. Doesn't seem to let too much bother him, very laid back. I think he's gonna, you know, he had a solid TPC. I like Cripsy for a top 15. You know, I think he's gonna have a top 15. I think it, you know, again, Prince's might be a bit too, just the wind, the penal rough. You know, just the different conditions that people aren't used to. You know, you grow up playing these courses locally in Surrey. You know, Lynx course, Lynx golf, it's just a completely different kettle of fish. And I think Cripps is going to find that, you know, he's going to find that different challenge, that the different questions it asks of you. I think he's going to find that difficult. I'd love to see Cripps do well, though. He's, like I said, he's one of the genuinely good blokes of the tour. Never gives me any issues. If I'd 40-odd members like Cripsy, then my life would be a lot easier than it is. Anyway, moving on to Craig Martin. He completes that four-ball. Craig, obviously, he's won the Travellers, so he knows what it takes to win on tour. But when it comes to, you know, the individual events, he's not done anything. He's also going up by a shot, so he's going up to 24 based on his recent play in BGA events. So that extra stroke's going to give him a bit more confidence, a bit more, you know, it's just a mental thing, isn't it? When you get given an extra shot, you know, but it's going to be very hard for Craig. I think he's aware of that. Again, I think he's just recently had a kid. So, you know, you haven't got that them hours to just go and play, to try and get better, to grind, to improve. And you just have to turn up on the day, and what will be will be. I'd love to see Craig do well, because he's another one. He doesn't give me any shit. Good bloke, just turns up, never moans. You know, no handicap DMs from him. Just is what it fucking is. Gets on with it. And he's obviously 18 months retired from the WAF game. So, you know, family man now. Different values, different way of life, different thinking. Good luck to Craig. Hope he does well, you know. Special shout out to obviously Rangers and their 55th league title. He's going to see COD for the first time since Rangers lifted that historic 55th league title. It's going to be interesting to see the dynamic between them two. Moving on to group six. Joe Parris, Dan Roberts, aka Robbo, Brett Folzer, and Lee Cousins. Joe Parris, you know, he pulled out last minute of the Players' Championship had to look after his little baby girl. You know, Joe is as honest as they come, so we appreciate, you know, his excuse. You know, any other person, you know, if that was Jack Furyttle pulling out the night before, I'd maybe a bit dubious he was out on the, you know, on the piss. But Joe's a good guy. I'd love to see him do well, because I know how serious he takes it. I know how much it means to him. I know You know, he joined the tour back in 2016, the end of 2016. We obviously famously won the Travellers together. And then 2017, he had a great year. He won the Masters, got to world number one. And since kind of hitting that peak, hitting that Everest, it's hard to get to the top, but then to maintain that is even harder. Joe kind of got to the top and then had a couple of off years. But he seems like last year he had a solid year, you know, and he did have a solid year last year. I know he lost his, well, match play game to Zach. That's obviously disappointing for him this year and doesn't really fill him probably with much confidence. But I'd like to see Joe do well. I just don't know how much, I don't know how much he plays. Obviously, I know his job. I know he can play at Rickmansworth a bit. And I don't know. I don't know. It's completely unknown for Joe. It wouldn't surprise me if he's up there. It'd surprise me if he wins. But, you know, maybe top 20 finish, I'd say. Dan Roberts, you know, he's very enthusiastic, very keen, seems a good bloke. He's gone up a couple of shots, handicaps, so that's something to lean on, confidence-wise. You know, you've got two more shots. I tipped him to be Rookie of the Year before the Players, and I think, you know, he had an average start to his season. It can be quite daunting to come on tour, big fields, big personalities, and to hit the ground running straight away. So we'll give him a few more starts before we kind of look him a bit closer. I don't know, Dan. I know he's a member at Warplesden, lovely track. I don't know how much he's playing. Again, I like Dan Roberts for a top 20. I can't see him winning, but who knows? Who knows on the BJ Tour? You know, look. No one thought Edmonds was going to win. No one thought Edmonds was going to win, and look what he done. He won the Players' Championship and he's 29th start. Anything can happen. That's why we love this game. That's why we love this tour. Brett Falzer, obviously he's due to have a kid in 2 weeks. Hasn't shown much form. He had a good year last year. Made the semi-finals of the World Match Play. But he had a good invitational last year, actually. He had a top 10 finish at Purbeck. So who knows? Who knows with Brett? Again, he's one of those. I've only played with him a couple of times, and it's been a couple of years. I don't know how much he's playing. You know, his missus is heavily pregnant. How much time he's got to dedicate to getting better, to grinding, to trying to improve, to try and get that W. I don't know. I don't know with Brett. You know, I don't want to be too harsh. I think, you know, I'm going to give him an extra shot for the Invitational. So we'll see how he uses that, you know. But his mind might be elsewhere. His mind might be on the pregnancy. His mind, maybe he's not going to be on the challenge that Prince's is going to present to you, you know, 18 holes of Championship Links golf. It's going to be tough. Lee Cousins, the banker. Where do I start with the banker in this group? You know, besides his abusive, nasty remarks that he constantly says about my dog and other things that I can't go into, you know, if you put aside all the nastiness with the banker, you know, deep down he is a good bloke. And I know he fucking wants this because he was texting me earlier in the week. He was saying, Bennett, can you send me some, you know, the scorecard? I said, you fucking want it, don't you? And he said, I fancy it. He played well a few days ago. He must have had a good round at Purford. He's kept that quiet. He's kept that off VPAR. He's playing off 22. He had a solid Players' Championship. I think he came tied 12th. So he's got a bit of form and he wants it. You know, he's in the group. He's, oh, no, I won't be holding the trophy and all that. I think secretly he fancies it. And I think he's, you know with Lee, he takes it very seriously. He's going to turn up and I think he's going to fancy it. And you know what? I fancy him for a top 25. I really do. I think he's going to sneak a top 25. You know? I don't know with Lee. He wants it. And if you want it, fair play to you. Group 7, George Vincent, Dave Casido, George Pierce, James Hunt. George Vincent, I've tipped him to win a major this year. He's playing off 17, so he's had a cut. It's going to be difficult at Prince's, but he made it to world number one last year. He's got a great resume so far. You know, he's won on tour. I like George. I think he's going to be up there. I definitely fancy him for a top 10. I definitely feel like he's going to win a major within the next 2 years. Do I think it's going to be Prince's? I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me. He's someone that just gets on with it. Very quiet, very calculated. I like his chances. Dave Caicedo, lot of talk, obviously beat Adam Hunt in the World Match Play. That was a massive shock. And he's playing well. He's playing regularly, Dave is, and he seems happy. You know, he's obviously put all the shagging behind him. And he seems to be concentrating on the golf. He's playing regularly. He's made it to the first round of the World Match Play. That was big in Bogota. You know, they had the streets lined out for him. Open top bus parade. Obviously, COVID restrictions were in place. I mean, it's different, you know, shooting 38 points around Rickman's Worth or around your fucking pitch and putt around Cambridge that he does. This is the Invitational Princes. And Dave will know that. He'll know this is different. He'll know this is a different test. This is going to be different. Would I love Dave to do well at the Invitational? Of course I would. I'd love it because it shows you, you know, 5 years ago, he was the worst golfer by a mile on tour. Well, maybe he's not now. And that shows you, if you put the effort in, the grind, the hard work, the hard yards, you can make gains, you can improve, and you can get better. I'd love Dave to do well because it would be good for the tour. And he's a big personality. But I think Princes is going to be a bit difficult for him. George Pierce, he obviously had an injury for the Players' Championship, pulled out with a pulled pectoral muscle. You know, he's obviously hitting the gym hard. He's trying to gain them extra yardage. He's trying to increase his club head speed. He's going down the Bryson route. And it's obviously didn't pay dividends for him at the Players. He had to pull out with a ripped pec. I don't know if that pectoral muscle is going to be fully healed. I don't know if he's going to be able to put the crank ball into play. But we'll see. I said when George won his Players' Championship. No, he didn't win the Players' Championship. When George won the playoffs back in, what was it, 2019? I thought by the end of 21, he would have won a major. He still hasn't won that major, but he's won two times on the PGA Tour. He knows what it takes to win. And when he won the playoffs, he beat Biffin down the stretch. So he's not intimidated by the big names. The low handicap is coming up. But I don't know how much golf he's played. He's a member at Bear Hill. I think he's going to do well. But, sorry, some bloke's just... Yeah, all right. Some bloke's just opened his fucking car onto mine. Prick. Yeah, I don't know how well he's going to do, but we'll see, you know? We'll see how he does. James Hunt. Again, he had to pull out the Players' Championship with severe diarrhea. He was on the toilet for a solid week. I don't know how... You know, rumours that he lost a lot of weight during that week spell where... You know, he had food poisoning and it's affected him. I don't know how much he's played. He's expecting a second kid soon. He's not able to go up on the party coach because he needs to be in the, you know, he needs to drive in case he needs to rush away. I don't fancy James Hunt to win. I just hope he has a good day and he doesn't try to assault anyone, you know. Won't go into what happened at the Masters, but he did verbally and physically assault me for calling a penalty on him. So hopefully James can respect where Prince is. He can respect that, you know, let's enjoy it. Let's not assault people. Moving on to the last group. Mike Arnott, Rooney, Clive Kennedy and Andrew Chapman. Big Zimbabwean vibe in this one. We've got two Africans in this one. We've got Mike Arnott, obviously, to start with him. Three-time BJ Tour winner. Obviously, he took the BJ Tour by storm last year. He won three times back-to-back majors. He nearly won the Grand Slam. You know, Arnie comes second at the Players' Championship. He just does what he does. He keeps getting cut. He goes, all right, sweet. He just keeps churning out. He's the most consistent player of the last 2 years by a country mile. He knows he needs the Invitational to complete the Grand Slam. He's down to seven. That's, you know, that's asking different questions of you. You know, he's obviously been cut from nine. You know, them two shots. I don't know. Arnie's going to have a top 10, 100%, because that's what he does. That's why he's world number one. That's why he's three-time BJ Tour winner. But it's just going to be his most difficult challenge, I think. You know, we'll see. We'll see what he does. I like Arnie's chances. He's very level-headed. Doesn't take himself too seriously. And that obviously reflects in his golf. He's just consistent. He churns out results. He's going to be up there. He's going to have top 10. Rooney, you know, where'd you start with Rooney? He's obviously going to... What's dangerous is Rooney isn't driving. You know, he's getting a lift with Joe Parris. So, you know he's going to be drinking. You know he's going to be heavily boozed up. And I don't know, with Rooney, kind of... He starts quickly and then he kind of fades the more drunk he gets. Hopefully Rooney has a good tournament. He's a very popular player. He's a very liked guy. You know, he's always entertainment. He's a big character. But does he have what it takes to win on the major stage? I don't know if you can win on the major stage if you're that drunk every event. You know, he loves his Kit Kats and he loves boozing. You know, he obviously famously did eat 6 double-barred Kit Kats at last year's playoffs. No, it wasn't the playoffs, it was the President's Cup. So, depending on how many Kit Kats he has, he's going to have a top 20. I just can't see him winning. Last two in that group, obviously Clive Kennedy made his debut at the Players' Championship last tournament. You know, he came, what did he come? Tied 15th, he had a good tournament, plays off 8. Solid golfer, seems a really nice guy. But I haven't seen enough of him to really, you know, to really say if he's going to compete at the Invitational. I did play with Andrew Chapman, also known as Chappie, at the Players. He's a 16 handicapper, but he's got a great swing. Very level-headed, very chilled out. And I've just got a sneaky feeling with him that he's... I think he's going to have a top 10. I wouldn't be surprised if he does better than that. I think he's going to do well. So that's all the groups kind of gone through quickly. You know, what I will say is this Thursday, this is the 19th playing of the Invitational. This is the biggest event we play for. It's our flagship championship. It's the one that matters the most. 32-man field, Prince's Golf Club. It's going to be historic. I will be there from probably about 8:30. Meet is at 9 a.m. First tee off is at 10 past 10. You know, let's pray for some good weather. Let's enjoy it. Let's respect the traditions and history of Prince's. But whatever happens Thursday, history will be made yet again. Look forward to it, guys, and I'll see you Thursday. Take care. President's out.